I'd like to welcome each of you into the Sunday morning worship services of Colola Springs Baptist Church. I know that some of you are worshiping live stream and others are here in the audience with us today. Let me remind you of our children's church. If you need to partake of that, just go down this hall right here and you'll see exactly where it's at. That's going on at this time. There'll be a wedding shower today from 2 to 4 o'clock in the fellowship hall for Rachel and Alan Caldwell. As you exit the building today, please keep the front porch clear. I bet y'all never thought I'd say that. Please keep the front porch clear, because as we dismiss a row, we need for that porch. I don't care how much you socialize out in the yard, just don't hug each other. We must practice social distance. Church family, thank you so much for thoughts and many prayers, food, text, and calls with the passing of my mother. Your friendship means so much. Love to all. May God bless you, Steve, Lisa, and Harley Hammer. Chris?
Good morning. I hope everybody's had a great week. Let's stand as we sing some songs that revolve around the word grace. And I am thankful for the Lord's grace today. This is Amazing Grace.
Who breaks the power of sin and darkness? Whose love is mighty? So much stronger, the King of glory, the King above all kings, who shakes the whole world with holy thunder and leads us breathless and all in wonder, the King of glory, the King above all kings. This is amazing grace. This is unfailing love, that you would take my place, that you would bear my cross. You laid down your life that I would be set free. Oh, Jesus, I sing for all that you've done for me. Who brings our chaos back into order? Who makes the orphan a son and daughter? The King of glory, the King of glory, who rules the nations with truth and justice, shines like the sun in all of its brilliance. The King of glory, the King above all kings. Amazing grace. This is unfailing love. That you would take my place. That you would bear my cross. You laid down your life that I would be set free. Oh, Jesus, I sing. All that you've done for me. Worthy is the Lamb who was slain. Worthy is the King who conquered the grave. Worthy is the Lamb who was slain. Worthy is the King who conquered the grave. Worthy is the Lamb who is slain. You would bear my cross. You laid down your life that I would be set free. Oh, Jesus, I sing for all that you've done for me. Jesus, I sing for all that you've done for me. Amazing grace, how sweet the sound that saved a wretch like me. I once was lost, but now I'm found, was blind.
Thank you, Jesus, for giving us the breath of life, Lord, to be able to come in here this morning, Lord, and sing these praises to you, Lord. Thank you for your marvelous, amazing grace. Lord, I just pray today, God, for our country, Lord. Lord, I know, God, you have blessed us. Tell us in your scripture, blessed is a nation whose God is Lord. Lord, I just pray, God, that every Christian today that's under the sound of my voice, everyone that's listening to us on the internet, through the internet, YouTube, Facebook, I pray today, God, that today, Lord, if they get their knees dirty, they get on their knees and they cry out to you, Lord, for our country. You've given us this great country to live here, Lord, to take care of, and to love and to serve you. God, we're in great need of prayer right now. Lord, I got to lift up to you, Lord, my uncle Lanny that passed away this morning, Lord. And God, just as I mentioned, that breath of life that you give us, Lord. God, thank you for putting him in my life. And Lord, he taught me some stuff this weekend about dying. And as I sat there last night and watched him on his deathbed taking those last breaths, Lord, as he was gasping for air, Lord, I couldn't help but think that when you call him home, his pain's gone. I couldn't help but think, Lord, that today he's with you right now. Lord, thank you for putting him in our lives, Lord. Lord, it also taught me, God, that we don't know when our day is coming, and our days are numbered here on this earth. Lord, my cry today, Lord, is if somebody in our church, Lord, whether you're young or whether you're old, whether you're a kid or whether you're not, I pray today, God, that they accept you today, Lord. Accept you as their personal Savior, Lord, so that they too, Lord, when they take their last breath, can spend eternity with you. And Jesus, I pray today for our pastor, God. Give him the strength that he needs to stand here, Lord. I lift up to you the Wayne Logan family and the loss of Mr. Wayne this weekend, Lord. God, just be with Colby and Jonathan and their family, Lord, up in Caledonia, Father. Be with Miss Joyce today, Lord, who's sitting at home, Lord, with Brother Greg, Lord. Just be with them, God. Comfort them. We love them. They're part of our church family, and we love them. And Lord, others that I might not have called out, but you know. You are a great, awesome, and mighty God. Thank you, Jesus. I ask all this in your precious name, Lord. Amen.
On this particular Sunday before the 4th of July, we have much of our church family that's traveling today. We pray that the Lord would give them traveling grace. Our family will be out of town early on this week to do the funeral of Uncle Lanny. You know, I think about our country. I told somebody yesterday, and I've told somebody today, we're as close right now to losing our democracy that we've ever had. And I don't know if you believe that or not. But I believe that. And what we need in the United States of America is an old-fashioned revival to turn people back to God. We're starving to death for it. So we do need to be in prayer for this great nation. Sometimes we take it for granted. And sometimes we take our flag flying high for granted. But then I'm reminded of men and women who've given their lives so that we could have the independence in America that we have. And I think about those freedoms that we have in America of speech, freedom to come here this morning and worship, freedoms that so many nations of this world do not have and that so many nations have lost. And yet we're free this morning to come and to worship the Lord our God. I ask you to turn with me this morning to the book of Jeremiah. Jeremiah chapter 7. I want us to think about the topic today, America. Decisions have consequences. America, decisions have consequences. Jeremiah 7:28. But thou shalt say unto them, this is a nation that obeyeth not the voice of the Lord their God, nor receiveth correction. Truth is perished and is cut off from their mouth. And then I want you to turn with me to Jeremiah chapter 16. Jeremiah chapter 16, beginning reading with verse 10. And it shall come to pass, when thou shalt show this people all these words, and they will say unto thee, wherefore hath the Lord pronounced all this great evil against us? Or what is our iniquity? Or what is our sin that we've committed against our Lord? And we'll be reading further scriptures as we go into the day's message. This is America. We were founded on the principles of God. Patrick Henry, the founding father of America, said, it cannot be emphasized too strongly or too often that this great nation was founded not by religionists, but by Christians. Not on religion, but on the gospel of Jesus Christ. 52 of 55 founders of the Constitution were members of Bible-believing churches in the colonies. 52 of 55. And I think about America right now, and I wonder what small percentage there is in Washington, D.C., in the Senate and the House of Representatives, are a member of any church, or even profess Christ. This is America now. The enemy is inside our gates with its God-defying demolition crew and will go to any length to erase God from our nation and from the pages of history. And beloved, that's happening right now in America. This is America now. Think with me. Our children are being taught that good is bad. They're being taught that right is wrong. They're being taught that the Bible that you and I hold is the Word of God is just another book. They're being taught that sin does not exist. They're being taught that there are many gods that you can worship and all of them are good. Let me tell you something, there ain't but one that can save you. My, they're being taught that there are no absolutes. They're being taught that premarital sex is a norm. It's not. It's a sin. Hello? They're being taught that murder is okay. That vandalism is okay. We watch that on television night after night. Vandalism, looting, burning. And we've got a society that says that's okay. Let me tell you something. It ain't okay. And it needs to be stopped. Our children are being taught that the lying, the cheating, the steal are acceptable ways of life. That's funny. When I grew up, if I lied, my mama washed my mouth out with soap. Did y'all hear me? To tell a lie was a sin. And when my mama got me for cheating or trying to steal something, she whipped me with a switch and I'm okay. If that didn't work, there was a belt that they used. If that didn't work, there was a razor strap that they used. That joker worked. I got it hanging on my mantle at the house. Just remind me to behave. Wow. How in the world did we come to all this chaos and confusion in our land? Well, I want to tell you how we're living in the me generation. The me generation. Do unto others as you would have them do unto you does not exist in the me generation. What does exist? I'm going to tell you what it is. It's selfishness. Selfishness, it exists in the me generation. This nation was built on biblical principles, and we were to govern ourselves, control ourselves, sustain ourselves based on the Bible. I want to repeat that. This nation was built on biblical principles. We were to govern ourselves, control ourselves, and sustain ourselves based on the Bible. You know what most of America has done with the Bible, even to have one? It's up on the shelf somewhere drawing dust. That's where we are. What's happened in America? Let me tell you something that's happened. One day I'm standing in my garage, and it come up a rainstorm, and an old school person who was a counselor was walking down our street. It's been years ago. And he stepped into my garage to keep from getting drowned because it was raining. And I'm standing there talking to him, and I said, what's happened to our schools? When did you start seeing a decline in our schools? And he didn't hesitate. He said, our schools started declining when we took prayer and Bible reading out of the schools. Think about that. Think about that. In the book of Jeremiah, chapter 16, verse 13, we find the message from God's heart to the people of Judah, and they ask two questions. First of all, what is the reason that the Lord has declared this great calamity on us or against us? And secondly, they ask, what is our sin that we've committed against God? I wonder if anybody in America has asked that question lately. What is our sin that we've committed against God? Running through their society was violence, lawlessness, oppression, dishonesty, slander, injustice, deceit, immorality, idolatry, that was running in their society. What's running in our society? The same things. Violence, lawlessness, oppression, dishonesty, slander, injustice, deceit, immorality, idolatry is running through our society, and it's rampant. This was the way of life that the people of Judah practiced every day. Their hearts were hard. Their hearts were depraved. Their hearts were corrupt. And Jeremiah has sounded the warning of judgment, the significance of repentance, but nobody listened. Nobody listened. And so now they question Jeremiah, and they said, Jeremiah, what is our sin that we've committed against God? Why is His judgment falling on us? And then we note verse 11 and 12. Then shalt thou say unto them, because your fathers have forsaken me, saith the Lord, and have walked after other gods, and have served them, and have worshipped them, and have forsaken me, and have not kept my law. And ye have done worse than your fathers. For behold, ye walk every one after the imagination of the evil heart, that they may not hearken unto me. Jeremiah answers the questions that they presented. God's judgment was due to evil that the people of Jeremiah were living with, tolerating, putting up with, and following. Their forefathers had committed apostasy. They had forsaken God. They had engaged in idol worship. They disobeyed God. And now the present generation Jeremiah is talking to is saying to them, you did the same thing, and you're doing the same thing. The present generation Jeremiah spoke to was being more wicked than the past generation. My friend, decisions have consequences, and that has not changed. That has not changed. No Bible reading, no prayer, neglecting worship, my friend, has consequences. No Bible reading and prayer in our schools has consequences. Let me tell you one of them. Test scores have dropped and dropped and dropped. Why? Is it bad teaching? No. Is it bad administrators? No, they put up with folks like me sometimes. What is it? What is it? No Bible reading and no prayer in our schools. How do we expect to perform when we're going to neglect God? Oh, listen, the people of Judah were stubborn and stiff-necked, and their hearts were hard against God. And may I say, decisions have consequences. In the New American Standard, Jeremiah said this about the present generation: "You too have done evil, even more than your forefathers. For behold, you are each one walking according to the stubbornness of his own evil heart without listening to me." And then we notice verse 13. "Therefore I will cast you out of this land into a land that you know not, neither ye nor your fathers. And there shall ye serve other gods day and night, where I will not show you favor." The people were reaping exactly what they had sown. Exactly what they were, what they'd sown. Beloved, we're reaping in America today what we've sown. I think about those days of World War II. And I think about how difficult it was, and the fact that we were extremely close to losing our freedom, but people came together and they worked. Women did jobs that men had normally done. They worked. Men were all fighting the war, but let me tell you, something else is going on. Church houses had folks coming to them, getting on their knees and crying out to God. And it worked. Due to their hard hearts and the wicked lifestyle that the people of Judah were practicing, they would be rejected by God and they would be led captive to serve other gods day and night. God says, "Where I will not show you favor, God's mercy will not be shown." Job chapter 4 and verse 8 says, "Even as I have seen that they that plow iniquity and sow iniquity and sow wickedness reap the same." I want to repeat that again. "Even as I've seen they that plow iniquity and sow wickedness reap the same." Proverbs 22 and 8, "He that soweth iniquity shall reap vanity, and the rod of his anger shall fail." Beloved, you and I in this life may sow iniquity, but if we do, we'll reap vanity. If I sow wickedness, I'll reap wickedness. If I sow to the Spirit, then of the Spirit I shall reap life everlasting. And then note verse 14 and 15. 14 and 15. "Therefore, behold, the days come, saith the Lord, that it shall be no more said, The Lord liveth, that brought up the children of Israel out of the land of Egypt. But the Lord liveth, that brought up the children out of Israel from the land of the north, and from all the lands whither he hath driven them, and I will bring them again into their land that I give to their fathers." In the midst of God's judgment, Jeremiah proclaimed this prophetic message, a wonderful promise of God to the people of Israel, that judgment would not be the final word. After judgment would follow the people of Judah, there was hope that laid out for them. Israel would be restored. A new exodus was going to take place. The day would come that the Israelites would return home from their 70 years of captivity by the Babylonians. But the prediction was far greater. There will be a final gathering of the Israelites in the last days of history. The Jews will return to their homeland. And people, this prophecy is occurring as I speak. As I speak. Somebody says, "I don't believe the Bible." That same bird would probably tell you they don't believe in the virgin birth. And that same bird would probably tell you they don't believe Jesus is coming again. But you know what? I'm just old-fashioned enough to believe one day that he's going to come back yonder in the clouds. And I'm just old-fashioned enough to believe that we as believers are going to exit this earth and we're going to go home to be with Him. And I'm old-fashioned enough to believe that one day He's coming back to set up His earthly reign here on this earth. And I'm coming with Him. And you're coming with Him. Oh, what a bright future that we have in the midst of all our chaos that we don't understand. Then I want us to note verse 16. Behold, I will send for many fishers, saith the Lord, and they shall fish them. And after will I send for many hunters, and they shall hunt them from every mountain, from every hill, out of the holes of the rocks. For mine eyes are upon all their ways. They are not laid up from my face, neither is their iniquity hid from my eyes. In verse 18, and first I will recompense their iniquity and their sin double, because they have defiled my land, and they have filled mine inheritance with the carcasses of their detestable and abominable things. Jeremiah declared that the certainty of God's judgment upon evil, and he gives two illustrations. He says judgment would be like fishermen, the enemy gathering fish in their nets, and every citizen of Judah would be killed, taken captive or exiled. Judgment was coming. And judgment would be like the hunter stalking their prey on every mountain and hill and every crevice under the rock. No animals would escape the judgment. The point is striking. No one will escape God's judgment. And beloved, that still holds true today. The judgment of God is coming. No one will escape, my friend. Decisions have consequences. And if I reject Christ as my Savior, what's the consequence? God's judgment of sentencing me into hell for all eternity. But I have a choice. I have a choice. You have a choice. Decisions carry consequences. Israel had turned to apostasy and disobedience, and they were stubborn and they were stiff-necked, and no one repented, and God's judgment was on them, was imminent. No one would escape. Jeremiah is speaking to a group of folks that were exiled 70 years into Babylonian captivity, and no one escaped. Verse 19 through 21. O Lord, my strength and my fortress and my refuge in the day of affliction, the Gentiles shall come unto thee from the ends of the earth, and shall say, surely our fathers have inherited lies, vanity, and things wherein there is no profit. Shall a man make gods unto himself, and they are no gods? Therefore, behold, I will this once cause them to know. I will cause them to know mine hand and my might, and they shall know that my name is the Lord. Wow. Jeremiah's message covered that great hope of nations, the salvation of the Gentile. He got a look into the future and he saw the time when every knee would bow and every tongue was going to confess that Jesus is Lord. He saw the day when Jesus would come and set up his kingdom on this earth, bursting out in praise. He addressed the Lord as my strength and my fortress and my refuge. Oh, there will come a day when mankind will turn from idolatry and confess their gods as false. As false. My friends, decisions have consequences. The Israelites chose to worship other gods, and their nation went into bondage. Can that happen again? Can that happen again? Can it happen in America that we lose every freedom that we enjoy today? As I said in the beginning this morning, we're on the verge of it happening, when our freedoms will be lost. Socialism will be ushered in. Preacher, you kind of get a, you sort of meddling out, John. You talking, I don't care where I'm talking. I'm telling you the truth. We cannot afford to lose democracy. Decisions have consequences. Today I can accept Jesus as Savior and Lord of my life. or I can reject him and worship false gods. I have a choice. You have a choice. Decisions have consequences. If I choose him as my Savior, I have a home in heaven promised to me. Now, if I refuse him as my Savior, I will die without him, and then hell will be my eternal home. Yes, decisions have consequences. Individually, yes, and as a nation, decisions have consequences. Let us pray. Father, you know every heart that's listening to me, whether by means of live stream or whether live in this audience today. You know every heart that's listening, and God, I pray today, if there's one in this building that doesn't know you, that today they'll come to know you in the free pardoning of sin. I pray this in Jesus' precious name. Amen. As we stand.